Coming down in 3, 2, and 1 as Elliot turns off his phone.
It's a fine.
Yes.
Welcome to 31 Thoughts, the podcast presented by GMC Sierra Trucks. Elliot, for the longest time, because we get a lot of requests, whether it's Twitter or just people stopping you at a rink or a tweet or whatever. One of the more popular requests has always been Keith Yandel. And the day is finally here. He is not just a wonderful defenseman, but a really engaging personality too, and someone who seems really comfortable in any environment that he's in. Like, we recorded this podcast a couple of weeks ago. As he walked in here, and we've seen players come in and, okay, there's microphones and sometimes there's a camera and it might be a little bit intimidating and this is new territory. Not that guy.
No,
he seems built for comfort wherever he goes.
You know, he doesn't show it a lot publicly too, right? And again, part of the reason is, you know, you look at where he's played, you know, from Arizona to the Rangers to Florida, he's not in a place where he gets a ton of attention. And I think it, for that reason, you don't get a day-to-day dose of his personality, and he likes it that way, but under the surface,
you're laughing.
There's really something else. I remember this at the All-Star game in Ottawa. Like, he knew all of Drake's songs. And I was like, how do you know all the words to this stuff? And he just laughed. And the other guys just laughed. But I like that he peeled back the veil a bit here.
Yeah.
It was fun.
It's good. It was a lot of fun. We spent an afternoon hanging out with Keith Yandel. Here is the evidence. Keith Yandel on 31 Thoughts, the podcast. Okay, so we're recording this podcast with Keith Yandel. We're going to get to Keith in a second, but Elliot, a moment ago, as we tried to start, your phone just went off. And so our first question for Keith Yandel is, who is the most annoying guy with his phone on the Panthers?
Vincent Trocheck, not even close. This guy, he's lucky. Remember the days like you had to pay for minutes and pay for text? He'd have to pay $1 million a month. Oh, there you go. Another fine. We're up $200 for me. I didn't bring my phone because I'm a true professional. But Troach is bad. A lot of guys aren't good with their phones. But during dinner, you got to tell him to put it down.
He's always with the phone.
You don't have it now
because you're a thorough professional. We respect that. Yeah. But normally, are you check it all the time?
No.
Or can you hide it?
I can put it away. Like summertime, it is tough to get a hold of me. I will put it away as long as I can. Hate being on the phone. I'm very bad. I try to make it every year for my New Year's resolution to be better on the phone, calling people back and texting people back. But I am very bad at my phone.
So I found when I heard you were coming on, first of all, we always appreciate it. Yeah. Secondly, I considered this an enormous challenge because the legend of Keith Yandel across the NHL, it's hard to find out new stuff. We've heard so many great and fantastic stories. I asked a bunch of people, and part of me is convinced, Keith, that some of these people are screwing with my head. So I'm going to ask.
We'll see.
I don't know if they're true or not, so we're all going to find out at the same time.
What's the old Doug McLean line?
Who did you ask?
I'm not telling you it's the truth. I'm just telling you what I heard.
Yeah.
It's not that bad. I don't want to get fired, and there's a limit to what we're allowed to do, okay. So it's not that bad. Number one, you can go to Kinky Boots and belt out the words of every song in it.
I was a big Broadway guy, so yeah, when I was in New York, I pretty much went to every show. Kinky Boots. Who said that? Rick Nash?
No, it was not Rick Nash.
Just wanted to name drop Nash. I don't even know. No, I'm just kidding. Not every song, but I'm a big Broadway guy.
Okay, so I heard there was one time you told all the young guys, I think you must have been playing for Arizona, they were all going to the Lion King and a bunch of guys tried to say no and you said, you don't understand.
You're going. Yeah.
That's true.
I think I was pretty young too, so I was just telling it, you got to go. And it was, I think Doner got the tickets, and that, I think that might have been one of my first times where I was like, this is amazing. If you go to a Broadway, they're all amazing, even the ones off Broadway. But The Lion King, some spell. I think I even dressed up that year. I might have painted my face like a lion or something.
You, seriously?
No. But I would. Lion King's my all-time favorite movie, too, so I'm a huge Lion King guy.
Who's the Lion King character you identify with the most? Because everybody who's seen this has one.
Yeah. I'd probably say either Timon or Pumbaa, one of those guys. Kind of, you know, just trying to, what do they say in the movie? Oh, I can't even think.
Hakuna Matata.
Hakuna Matata, yeah. Yes. Just kind of live your life, you know.
Well, I got to tell you, I've also was sent a picture of you guys going to Hamilton. So
that's a good one.
And too. Everybody, David Amber went to Hamilton. He scored big with the family for getting him to Hamilton.
Yeah.
When you first were traded or ended up in San Antonio, I guess, you slept on Tyson Nash's couch.
That's true. And it wasn't a pullout couch. And it wasn't a nice couch. It was one of the, you know, the miners, you're renting furniture. So God knows what this thing's been through. But I'm kind of a guy, I don't really like to be alone too often. So it was kind of one of those things. I think there was three of them in the room. It was Billy Thomas, Logan Stevenson, and Nasher. And Nasher didn't leave his room, so never saw him once. So it was basically just the three of us. And I was on the couch and, yeah, just... wasn't the nicest bed, but I think I might have had a sheet. Probably not, actually, knowing the miners, but yeah. No, it's, I mean, you gotta learn.
How long did you stay there for?
Too long, probably 3 months.
Oh my God, yeah, how did you play sleeping on a couch like that?
Well, I was 18, 19 years old. Yeah. You can do anything then.
Yeah. True or false, you love like the 16 and pregnant Jersey Shore stuff.
Live for it. I watch the worst to like Jersey Shore, Floribama Shore, 16 Pregnant, all the housewives. I watch, my wife has to leave the room. Like, and most wives watch that. And she's like, you are rotten in your brain. And I love it. It's trash TV, but I love it. I'm trash, so whatever.
Which one's your best? Like, which one?
All time favorite?
Yeah.
Jersey Shore. Not even close. Like, I'd never seen an episode. I've seen them all 5 times. It's not good, but I love it.
What's the favorite thing that ever happened on that show that you say, I identify with that or I love that the most?
The funniest thing, I mean, it was a little subtle thing, but Pauly D's my favorite in the whole show. He's the best. But I remember one time it was like, just from like having a sister and... He's like protective over them. I remember it was just the girls in the shore house were going out. And he was like, he said it in like such an Italian mom voice. He was like, all right, girls, you guys be careful tonight. It was just like, it was a subtle little thing, but I was dying laughing. I say anytime like my wife and kids leave the house, I say it. Just the cabs are here, obviously, is a classic. But yeah, I love that show. Never met any of them either.
Maybe this will help.
I need it.
All right. Two more to go, Jeff, and then you can put this interview back on the train tracks.
I'm putting my feet. I'm going to smoke a cigarette. Just chill out. Listen to this.
What is the deal with your socks routine?
Who said this? Jason Rudy?
No.
Drop a bigger name. Come on. Got to go huge. Drop Rick Nash.
Apparently
Shane
the moment
Doan, he's this guy.
It wasn't Doan, but it was an Arizona guy. You have something with your socks.
So I use a new pair of socks every game. And... You know when guys put their socks on, they're like a little like, that's not tight to your foot. It just drives me nuts. So it always like, my socks are just perfect. Try to keep them perfect at all times. And if somebody else's aren't, I'll harass them. Like Mark Pisick puts his socks on like backwards or upside down. And you're like, dude, come on. Like, have some respect
you
for your feet.
That's when someone doesn't have the right socks.
Respect for your feet. Treat your feet. That's what I always say. But I get pedicures and all that stuff. So.
Oh, I got to tell you, I think feet are the most disgusting part of the human body. I do not understand foot fetishes. I do not.
Yeah, I definitely don't have a fetish with it, but I treat my feet.
And the last one I had is, as someone said, as impressive as your Iron Man streak is, more impressive is your non-room service streak. Is that still active?
Still active.
Never had it.
Never once had room service. Well, I've never not gone out to dinner. I've had like breakfast room service.
Okay.
I get that. But now we have breakfast, like the team. But before when they didn't have breakfast, I would order it to my room. But yeah, I've never not gone out to dinner.
Well, let me just say,
wow.
Yeah.
Thank you very much to Shane Doan, to Tyson Nash, and to Paul Bissonnette for not lying to me. All of
three, that. Yeah, that's all true. And they took it pretty easy on me too. So I appreciate it. And Doaner got the Hamilton ticket. That's when Hamilton was like, I think there was like $3,000 a ticket. And he got us tickets for that. And I own for that one and a lot more, but
feet. So one of my favorite lines, I remember playing men's league years ago, and I'm like a men's league hack, and threw something up the middle, who knows what, and some guy skates by me and goes, dude, you got hands like feet. What is the most creative thing you've ever said to someone or had someone say to you? Hands like feet is a favorite of mine.
Hands like feet's good. I heard the other day, I was watching, I'm trying to think of what someone has said. Oh, I think I told Patrick Kane this summer. We played them in the playoffs. I forget what year it was when I was in Phoenix. And it was me and Adrian Acoin on the ice. And he was behind the net. We were in front, like kind of a little skirmish. And he's like, you're brutal. Like just like kind of all over. And I thought he was talking to Adrian. I'm like, dude, have some respect. He's played 1,000 games. He goes, I was talking to you, not him. And I was dying. I'm like, all right, then that's funny. And I think I saw, we did that camp this summer with Kaner, and I told him that story. He's like, yeah. He was like, I was young and fresh then. He was like, I wouldn't do that anymore. But stuff like that is funny to me.
You sit here now, like you're getting close. You're a little over a year away from the record. I mean, you've had, when people think about you, they think about the guy with the great sense of humor. And I wonder, Mark Bergevin was the same way. Like people always looked at him for the funny stuff he did. And I asked him, like, does it bother you that people don't think about you as the guy who played as many years? Because to last as long as you did, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And do you ever wish that people would say Keith Yandel, hell of a career, as opposed to Keith Yandel, funny guy?
Like for me, like every single day I wake up just thankful to play in the NHL, best league in the world. We all know it. We all say it, but there's no day I'm going to come to the rink and have a bad day. And whether it's, you know, you got to bring some sense of humor if the day is, you know, where you're not feeling too good. But, you know, for me, it's kind of, you know, obviously you'd like to be talked about, whether it's, you know, a funny guy or a guy, you know, being a good teammate. And I think that's kind of the thing that I take from it most. If you're being a good teammate, you're bringing camaraderie to your team, you're helping out. And, you know, that's kind of the biggest thing I take from it.
You know, Jeff, that's one thing, by the way, Shane Doan did say, like, he gained the respect for Keith. I guess James Wisniewski clobbered him once, and you jumped right in. And Doan said from that day, he knew what a great teammate you were.
Doan stepped into it, the blue line, and he takes the brunt to the right shoulder of James Wisniewski, and Shane Doan is down. He's hurt. He's not sure where he is.
No, they got
yeah, they finally stopped play. Doan was in trouble for quite some time before the official stopped the play. And now coming over and taking a run at Wisniewski is Keith Yandel. And he's taking the worst of Wisniewski's fists right now. And they both go to the ice.
Well, Wisniewski stood up Shane Doan. I can't believe Shane Doan is not being helped over to the bench, John, because
he could have used it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the trainer's doing in that situation, letting him skate over. Here's James Wisniewski standing up, and he gets him right on the button.
Yeah, and thank God I had a visor on, or Wiz would have, I would have been probably dead, because he's a tough dude and a lefty, and I'm not tough or a lefty. And yeah, but Doaner, that was a bad hit. If you look at that hit, and I mean, we all know how tough a guy Doaner is. He could barely even stand. I don't know. He probably didn't even miss a shift back then, but you know, that's something you're taught as a kid too. You know, from my dad and brothers. You know, you stick up for your teammates where they, you know, you don't want to do it, but you got to do it.
The games played and the Iron Man streak. Anytime we talk to hockey players, that's one of the things that you guys always come back to. The points are the points and the trophies and the cups and all that, the stuff you dream about as a kid. But the deeper I get into working on this side of the magic eyeball, I realize how much that means to you guys and how important it is. Like you just mentioned, hey, man, that's Adrian Coyne, like 1,000 games, like show some respect. Like you get that from player to player. Having said that, I mean, you're chasing the Iron Man record. So was Andrew Cogliano. When he got suspended,
yeah,
what did you think?
I didn't. I actually still don't even think I've seen that. What was it, an elbowing or something, or interference?
Yeah, can't be on the side.
Yeah, and I know Cogs, he's an unbelievable guy. I know he's not a, you know, vicious player, and it was a one-game suspension, right?
Two.
Was it two? Okay, yeah. So I don't know enough to comment whether it should have been a suspension or not. It's
like, did you feel for the guy?
I definitely
like
felt for him, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
That's a thing with you guys, right?
Yeah. And you know, for him, you feel bad that he's not, you know, not able to do it and, you know, has to start over. But you know, everybody knows what he's done, and he plays the game hard too. And he's been, he's played in a lot of games.
You ever think about it? Like, at what point, like, you're jumping over players here, you know, leaping over, getting into the top five, Ironman. Like, at what point did you allow yourself to say, maybe I have a shot at this? Was there, like, one name, like, you passed over someone? Oh, I just passed Mark Recchi. Ooh, maybe I do have a shot at this.
I never honestly really try to think about it too much. Just kind of, like my parents said, just show up to work every day and do your job, like your shirt says, Patriots way. But, it's one of those things. And I think nowadays, too, you get so many days off with, you know, coaches are good with that. So you find your way to get rest when you need it. And you know, if you're able to play, and I think every guy's like that in the league now, if you're able to play, you play.
It's kind of interesting because there was one time, I can't remember which injury it was, but basically I think somebody wrote that your streak was coming to an end. I think it was when Tom Rowe was coaching Florida.
Yeah.
And it got written that your streak was over. And then the next game you were there and you kind of laughed it off and said, you show up and you play.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, what's the closest you ever came to taking a night off?
That was it. And that's what I've told this story before, is we played in Boston and we were playing in Philly the next day and I got hit in the back of the heel, and I thought I broke my foot. It was done. Like, I couldn't finish the game. I was walking out in a boot, had a boot. And as I'm walking out, Ali Raisman, the gymnast for Team USA, this is right after they won the Olympics. She dropped the puck that night and she said, oh, like I stopped, met her. She's from Boston area. So talked to her and she said, oh, I broke both of my feet like 3 months before the Olympics. And I was like, okay, I'm playing tomorrow. There's no way I'm not. Like, if this girl can go, like, jump around and win golds for the U.S., I was like, I gotta try and play tomorrow. And got it in the boot and was able to play. Probably was terrible, but.
Yeah. Well, did it hurt? Like, were you in a lot of pain?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was brutal. Yeah. That one was bad. And that kind of lingered for a while where it wasn't getting any better. So, but it's good now.
That's all because of your mom, right? Like, I read that story Alex Pruitt did in Sports Illustrated. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a beautiful story. And just tell us a story about your mom and how she had to go to work.
Yeah, well, my dad as well. They both, they never missed a day of work. But my mom, she still does it to this day. She's worked for FedEx for 35. My mom's at 35 years now. My dad did 30 years and just grinded, went to work every day. My dad was a truck driver. My mom just worked in the office answering phones and stuff like that. Now she's worked her way up to manager. But just every single day, never once complained about work. And they had a thing ruled too, when you got home, you didn't talk about work. So it was kind of, you do your job at work, you come home and it's family time. And I remember her being sick, probably not wanting to go to work. Obviously, when you're a kid, you have hockey tournaments and sometimes you're missing Friday of school. She would never, we'd have to go with another family because she had to work. And, always remember that as a kid. And my brother and sister are the same way. My sister works harder than anyone I know.
What does she do?
So she works with handicapped kids in school. She's like the aide in their classes. I call her Mr. Clean because she has more jobs than Mr. Clean. she'll do tutoring. She does everything. And my brother's the same way. Boston cop. Goes to work every day, works midnights to, 9 in the morning and just punches the clock every day, and something I try to do as well.
Well, Bob, that's great. Your sister, she does God's work.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Stuff.
She's the best.
You don't complain about things, do you?
I try not to. Sometimes I find myself like, when sometimes you're like...
The sense that I get from you is you don't let things bug you.
Right, no.
You don't. And I remember when we first started this podcast, I was texting with Ryan Whitney, and Whit said, "Yeah, you got to get Yandel on. You got to get Yandel. This is the best guest you're gonna have. You got to get Yandel on." I said, "Really? What should I ask him if we had him on?" He goes, "This dude's a freak. He can like take a pair of skates out of the box and just go play." Guys are so, of course, guys are so specific about, well,
especially him with his feet.
Totally right.
Yeah.
That's how it all came crashing down. But like, I don't get the sense that you're going to be distracted by things or let something as simple as, well, these skates don't feel perfect. That's not going to bug you. Like, this isn't Princess and the Pea. Oh, I can't sleep. This pillow is not right.
Yeah.
I'll sleep on Tyson Nash's couch.
I'll sleep on the couch, yeah. Yeah, I try to be pretty as low maintenance as possible. Yeah, with the skate thing, I could wear skates, right out of the box in the game. Barkey does it too. Barkey does even more. I use a pair like every 5 or 6 games. He's like every 3 games right out of the box.
Right out of the box.
Yeah. I don't even think he heats his up. I heat mine up. He doesn't even heat his up, and he He's a freak, that guy.
Man, that makes me even respect him as a player even more. Yeah. Like, how do you do that?
Yeah, he's unreal.
Who's the weirdest about their equipment that you've met, any of your teams? Oh, the most fanatical, whether it's about the sticks, the skates, something, anything.
Ed Jovanovski was pretty, actually, Rafi Torres, number one. We called him Geppetto because he was always in the stick room, like making sticks. We were like, what is this guy making in here? But he was working on his stick and he would bend everybody's stick, like breaking sticks just from like testing the flex. He would cut the insides out and then like tighten the fingers so his fingers were tighter. Like usually you just get them out of the bag and put them on. Well, so I thought, but he was pretty anal about his stuff.
That's so funny because I just saw him this morning. He coaches my son's hockey team in 2012. I am playing this back for him as soon as I can. So Rafi, was that freak?
Oh, he was a freak. Yeah, he was always in the stick room. And it would be, there'd be smoke, spray paint, everything. You'd be like, what is going on? Be like, oh, Tico's in there. No one go near there. He'd come out. He'd have like the mask on. He was beautiful. He was a good guy. Really good guy.
Very good guy. Oh my God, that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
You know, your free agency, when you sign with Florida, can you take us through that process?
You know,
what were you expecting? And all of a sudden, what was your reaction when you heard what the Panthers were willing to offer?
Well, the whole thing was, you know, when, especially your last year, is to get to July 1, right? It's that day that you mark down your only time you're going to be a free agent, or, you know, some guys, if you're, in my case, it was the first time I was going to be a free agent. And, you know, right before, my agent had me write a list of teams that I would love to play for. And then a list of teams that, you know, I think could afford or had money or whatever it was. And Florida was number one for both, because I knew it was, you know, they had some money to spend. I just saw what they did. They made the playoffs that year. Ekblad was there and, you know, Troch, Barkey, all those guys. So I knew that they had an up-and-coming team. So it was kind of one of those. And then it came out of the blue that they traded for me. And, well, I think maybe someone from New York might have called and said, would you play? Because they traded and they got a better pick, whatever it was. And I said, actually, yeah, I would definitely go there. And it kind of all unraveled. And I remember I talked to, I think it was Eric Joyce, the town that I live in, you have to buy trash stickers to bring your trash out. And Eric Joyce was like, yeah, I don't think you're going to have to go be buying too many more trash stickers. You'll be having people bringing out your trash now. And I was like, nah. So, yeah, it was, but yeah, that was a, it happened really quick. And it was, you know, I never got to July 1.
You know, remember there was that documentary with Ty Domi. And it was like the day in hockey or a year in hockey.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, right before he signed his contract, he said, is this an American?
Yeah, well, it was just like they told him it was a 5-year deal worth $1.5 million a year. He goes, is this an American? They go, yeah. And he had this huge smile on his face.
Yeah.
So when your agent's Jerry Buckley,
yeah,
when he first told you the numbers, you know, what was your reaction?
It's one of those things you're like, holy crap. Like it's... Yeah, you'd play for free to play in this league. Like you'd pay to play in the NHL to be able to, you know, stay at the hotels that we stay at, the travel, the fans, like everything about the NHL is just like I love it. Like I love being a part of the NHL. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like when I retire, like I want to just like, I don't know, maybe even be like an equipment manager, like for free, just to be around like the guys and everything, like just, you know, still be a part of the NHL. Is so to be paid and as well as we do, it's just amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about post? I'm not trying to wrap up your career. You got a lot of things to do still, but have you ever?
The good news is Rafi Torres is retired, so you don't have to do his sticks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's to coach my brat though.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about next? I remember Kelly Rudy once brought up the point. He said, "The minute you think about retirement, part of you retires." Have you ever allowed yourself to think about retirement? Is that still too far?
Yeah, I don't really. My wife gets on me a little bit just for. Because she wants me to like get some schooling in to kind of, I feel like I'm far away from that where I try not to think about it too much. But then you're seeing guys that you played with that are retiring, doing things. And it's, you try not to think about it, like you say, but it's definitely, you know, one of those things, you know, it's closer than further away. You know? So I think for me, I would definitely love to still be in the game doing something. And, you know, once it comes, we'll figure it out.
Are you going to be a broadcaster?
I don't think I'm good looking enough. I maybe radio.
I'm on
maybe,
TV, Keith.
I know,
you can be
you
on
you clean
TV.
Up well. I don't know. I did some stuff with NBC at the end of the year last year. That was fun. But, man, like, you guys, that's hard work. Like, I went in there thinking, you know, not that it was going to be easy, but like you're studying games, you're there for a lot of hours. Like I tell everyone, like I left that, like, man, these guys work their tails off every day.
Keith, it's not that hard.
Right, if you want to do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
So when you did last year at the All-Star, when Kucherov and Vasilevsky stared at you stone-faced.
Hey, guys. Keith Yandel here. We're coming live from San Jose. We're here with superstar Nikita Kucherov. Who's your favorite player? All right. We'll go find somebody else. Vasi, what do you got for me? All right. 0-for-2 here. Try to get a. We'll get another Lightning guy. Maybe Stammer will say, "Oh, we're live with NHL Network."
Oh, nice.
Yeah, NHL.com. Your two Russian teammates wouldn't talk to me, so.
They don't talk to me either most nights. Yeah. If I don't make good plays out there, they don't talk to me,
which is rarely.
Is that set up?
Yeah.
That's what I figured. I figured they weren't ignoring you on purpose.
What? I kind of just did it for the Russian thing at first, and then wasn't even thinking about like the in-state rivalry. And then because at the All-Star game, you're thinking, yeah, we're all friends here. But those guys were unreal guys, like awesome to talk to, funny, very funny. So I got along with them great and then came up with that idea, and they were awesome at it.
You know, we were watching about the Battle of Alberta. If you're sitting here on Sunday afternoon, what would a 7-game playoff series be like between Florida and Tampa?
Yeah.
Would the goalies be fighting by the end of that series?
Two Russian goalies too.
How quick can you get hate for Tampa?
Oh, well, we played them this year. We played like the last 3 or 4 preseason games and then started the season off with them twice. So in the last preseason games were chippy. It was nasty. And I was like, this could be awesome rivalry and unreal in the playoffs. And hopefully it comes to it.
Let's go to the other end. The first time I saw you play, I never saw you play the regular season. You played 1 year, only 1 year in Moncton, I believe.
Yeah, 1 year, yep.
So I saw the Moore Cup that year, and you guys lost to the Quebec Ramparts. You scored 2 goals in the final, scored a goal in the semifinal against
Peterborough? Vancouver. Maybe.
Yeah, because Lucic was on, Lucic was on that team. That was the first time I saw Keith Yandel. What was that like for you? Take us back to junior. Was it still all innocent hockey, were you still had like that? Because some guys, they'll play like pro players and they'll already start thinking like pro players. Oh, I just want to get done with this junior stuff and move on to my NHL career.
Yeah.
Where was Keith Yandel in Moncton? Where was your head at?
Well, I still lived like I'm a day-to-day guy. I live my life like one day at a time. Never look like too far ahead for anything. I didn't even really know if I would. Obviously, I was drafted by Phoenix, but I didn't know. You know, if I was like what even the process was of going to the minors or going to the NHL, and I went to training camp that year and I was like, oh my God, like I could be maybe playing in the NHL here. And then go back to junior. We had a really good team, Teddy Nolan, but I wasn't like ever thinking like, okay, I got to get this year over so I can, you turn pro. It was kind of just enjoy this time in Moncton. I knew nothing about the Memorial Cup going into it, and everyone's like, "Oh, wait till the end of the year; it's going to be the best." And it was.
You guys hosted it.
We hosted, right? We also won the league too. So,
but it was no backdoor for you guys.
No, and then lost to Quebec, who we played in the finals of the Quebec league. But they had a good team. But it for me, it was kind of just it was my path that I was on. I didn't really look too far ahead for anything, and just was playing.
Brad Marchand was your teammate then. You would have been 19. He was 18, or do I was 18, 17? I can't recall.
Did he ever lick you in practice?
He didn't. No, he was quiet then. I was
going to ask, what was he like then?
He was quiet. He was, he was from the area too. So he kind of, had kind of his own thing going on a little bit too he was an unbelievable player, especially in that Mem Cup. He was amazing that year. He was one of those guys too, you knew, but the NHL hadn't really gone small yet, so you didn't really know but you knew his skill set and everything that you're not shocked by what he's doing now, how good he is.
What was Patrick Waugh like in that Memorial Cup for you guys?
So remember him and Teddy Nolan had a little beef where someone said something about they were going to fight at center ice or something. I mean, Patty's an intense guy and probably pretty tough, but Teddy is, when he gets mad, he's a scary man. He's a great coach too.
Joel Quenneville, so let's do the little Panthers. So this year, you know, you guys dip big in. You got Joel Quenneville, Bobrovsky, Strollman. Mm-hmm. Your forward is having an unbelievable year. Achari, yeah. Brett Connolly, great guy. So what did you hear about Joel Quenneville before you knew him, and what turned out to be true now that you've had him for half a year?
I think he was kind of one of those guys you always knew that guys loved playing for him, and you could just tell the way the guys played for him in Chicago. You knew he was a player's coach and a guy that played and knew the game. But I think once you have him, you know nothing's negative about him. Everything is, you know, he's teaching you not to put anyone down. He's teaching you to help the team win, to help you get better as a player. And I think that's the best thing about him, is where he's, you know, he's a teacher. He's teaching the game still. He's passionate about it, but he's, you know, he's not mean about anything. Obviously, he's scary. Like, he's intimidating guy, but he, you know, he's a guy you love to play for.
Has he ever pulled out the rings? Like, did he ever pull them out for you guys?
Never. No, he hasn't. He never mentioned Chicago. Doesn't say, oh, when we were in Chicago, we did this. Everything's just about our group, our team, and what we have to do.
I am curious about death stares when it comes to Joel Quenneville. For me, he's number one. For you?
Besides my mom, he's you don't want to get the glare down, like, or when you're skating to the ice and you know he's looking at him and you're like, don't look, don't look, don't look. But yeah, he's intimidating, but he does it in the right way.
What's the biggest death stare you got from him? You did.
I don't know. I can't remember off the top of my head. I'm sure I've had a few, but like, I try not to. If I know I'm going to get one, I just try not to even look down there.
If we, because I mentioned Memorial Cup here a couple of moments ago, that would have been 2006. Yeah. If we went back and watched Keith Yandle in 2006 and then put Keith Yandle in 2020 right beside him and ran frame to frame, frame to frame, how different would you look from how you play?
As a player, yeah. I think I was a little more like Teddy Nolan used to call me the what's the horse? Like a wild horse. He was like, you got to let him run. Yeah. So I would always be up in the play. And I remember my dad be like, you're a defenseman. You got to be back a little bit. And I would in the Quebec League's a little run and gun. So
yep.
I think back then I was basically a forward. Obviously still enjoy the offensive part of the game now, but I was actually probably more of a shooter in junior. I think I had a decent amount of goals, I think, in junior. So I was a little more of a shooter, you know, and then came to the NHL and realized that I wasn't going to score much on how good these goalies are. So give it to the guys who can score. And so probably a little bit more of a passer now than a shooter than I was in junior.
I got two more just for you. Number one, we're sitting here on Sunday afternoon just before the Super Bowl, and you guys played in Montreal, big game in the afternoon. You got Toronto on this Monday night. But you got into Toronto in time to watch one of your close friends get into a goalie fight.
Mm-hmm.
You texted Mike Smith after the game. What was your reaction when you saw Mike Smith and Cam Talbot at center ice in the Battle of Alberta?
As Talbot is into it, and he wants a piece of somebody back there.
Gagne's coming back at Giordano, and now Giordano's coming up too. This thing blew over in a hurry.
And Smith is coming up to center ice as this thing comes unglued.
And Bear in the high slot here fighting, looks like with Matthew Tkachuk.
It's Tkachuk and Bear, and they are trading them. Bear comes over the top of the right. Tkachuk comes back, and now Talbot and Mike Smith are going to go as center ice. Talbot and Smith, who've been on both sides of this Battle of Alberta. This is unbelievable.
Wow. Both guys played for the other team, respectively, the year before in the Battle of Alberta. They're going against each other. And Mike Smith came right to center. Talbot said, you know what? Let's do this.
Well, I played with both of the guys, and both guys, great guys. Different guys, too. I mean, Cam's kind of a mellow guy, and Smitty's an intense in your face. And, you know, when I saw Smitty at center ice just waiting there, like, he's one of those guys, especially as a goalie, like, he's probably been waiting his whole career for that. Like, he, and to be in that Battle of Alberta, like, just to ham it up even more. And he's a big, strong, tough kid, too. I definitely wouldn't want to fight him.
So you knew he wanted that.
Oh, he loved it. And you could tell, like, if a forward came out and tried to fight him or somebody, he would have fought them. He didn't care.
Mm-hmm. And the last one I have for you, I've kind of wondered about this. You played briefly for the Rangers, but you're also in Arizona and Florida. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Canadian hockey fans and sometimes the media were snobs. And I was wondering if playing in those situations and hearing some of the things Canadian fans have said about those cities before, mm-hmm. you've ever been like, you know what? Enough with that BS. Like, yeah. Do you take it personally at all, some of the things that have been said?
There was a lot in Phoenix, especially the years that we thought we were going to move.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of, just moved the team already, you might as well. But I think for us, we just, you wanted to be part of something to build. I mean, if that team's not there, you don't have Auston Matthews. Like, that's, he doesn't have a team to look up to. He probably doesn't start hockey. He doesn't idolize probably Shane Doan and, you know, isn't the player that he is now. So I think you need, you know, the small market teams, you're going to get players there. Look at all the players coming from Florida, California, and watch now. There's going to be guys coming out of Vegas, and it's going to be fun.
A couple things then. Further to that, what is the biggest misconception that people have about either Florida as a hockey state or the Panthers?
Probably the biggest thing just with Florida, like, you know, you come to a cold city, you're not outside, you kind of, you know, there's a game at night, you're going to be, okay, we're going to put the fire on, watch the game, because there's nothing, you know, maybe to do outside. But I think in Florida, there's just so much going on where there's, you can kind of get, you know, during your day, forget that there's going to be a game that night because it's nice out, you're not, you know, confined to your house, you're out doing things. So I don't know if it has something to do with that. Also, there's a lot of people that aren't from there, mm-hmm. You know, people didn't grow up with a team that team came in 93, right? So mm-hmm. it's, you know, there's still people that didn't grow up as kids watching them. And, yeah, but I think you got to play well. And I think for us, that's something we got to take pride in is, you know, playing well and getting people to come.
Last one. Florida Panthers are playing the Carolina Hurricanes. Keith Yandle's on the ice in his own zone. And Andrei Svechnikov is skating behind the net. What is going through your mind?
I'm taking a 2 minute if he's behind. you're getting a slashing penalty. You know, that's something you don't want to be a part of. And that, but it's not even him now. Like anyone's going to do it. So it's
Forsberg pulled it out. Matthews has tried it.
Yeah,
a few guys. This is
I
would imagine that going into a game against Carolina, this would be something you'd have to game plan, right?
Yeah, well, yeah. Especially in it's not even now that the guys are stopped. Like he's picking it up at speed. Like Forsberg picked it up at almost full speed and. It's crazy what guys can do with the puck nowadays.
Listen, this has been a delight. Thank you for making time. Super Bowl Sunday, I know, is tough for a lot of guys. Thanks for parking some with us today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, guys.
We're going to hold you to this. 49ers or Chiefs?
I'm going 49ers. Jimmy G used to play for my Pats.
Oh, really, eh?
Yeah, so my mother-in-law is a 49ers fan. I'm going to go 49ers. I really have no skin in the game either way, so it's kind of... Hope for a good game and go Niners, I guess.
All right, maybe a tougher question. Best musical ever?
Best musical ever. I'm going to go Lion King. I love Jersey Boys. It was really good.
Does anything give Lion King a run?
Book of Mormon, you ever see that?
Nope.
Insane. That's probably, I've seen that like 3 or 4 times. School of Rock's unreal. I'd say Book of Mormon is the only one that's close to Lion King. Awesome.
Thank you,
guys.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.